You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Thank you for coming back. Part two is underway. Because I want to talk about the radio. I want to talk about you.
Yeah.
Because you, at the intro, you've done a lot of things.
Yes.
Your resume is extensive. Yeah. No, seriously. No bull jive. No real talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you really know, or maybe people haven't told you. Maybe you just, and we're all wired like this. We kind of hear more here the negativity than the positive, because being an ex-professional athlete, the losses haunt me more than the wins.
Right.
I remember a loss way more than I'm.
Doesn't that suck? It's like so irritating that our brains are wired that way. It's like, how? Yeah. Well, this is not helpful.
Yeah. The parades don't bring me the joy that the hurt and the losses.
I feel you.
So your first job and one of the first jobs you had, well, you were a radio host. How did you get into radio?
I was a spoken word poet.
Okay.
So I did like Deaf Poetry Jam when I was in college, and I would do slams and, you know, all of that. And I ended up performing at a Jesse Jackson Rainbow Push benefit. And I just remember it being like pouring rain. And I still was like, no, I'm going to rainbow push to get there.
Right.
And there was a brother there, Ken Spellman, who gave me his card and was like, you know, we should talk about you doing radio. But like, listen, brothers give you your card, give you their card.
You think it's so. You see,
you be like, all right. So I went back to Purchase and the card was sitting on my desk. And I hadn't called him. It was like a week. And my homegirl was sitting at my desk because she was like using my computer and she was looking at the car. She was like, oh, wow, this office is at Rockefeller Center. And I was like, whose office is at Rockefeller Center? And she was like, the card that you have on your desk from who's this card from? And I was like, oh, that's the guy I met at the benefit. She was like, I think this is legit. And I was like, huh. And I looked at it. I was like, oh, shit, I didn't even realize this. I thought it was like Homeboy LLC. So I called him and he was like, I'd love for you to come to the radio and like, you know, I want to interview you as a poet, et cetera. I didn't realize that when I went to the radio and he was interviewing me about poetry, he was actually interviewing me for the job. So I ended up getting a job as a radio host at Sirius. And I was hosting like these two stations that were kind of like just esoteric and all over the place and eclectic. And then I graduated. So that was in March of 2020. No, baby, that was in March of 2003.
Because I started at Sirius in 2004. I did radio for Sirius.
Okay. So I started there in 2003. And then 9 months later, so I've graduated now. I'm sitting in Actually, no. These two guys that were on the hip hop station, they were standing in their boss's office, but the office had two sections and they were in the front section. I had just peeked my head in to say hi. And they're like, oh, what's up? And they had like the Outkast album in front of them. Speaker Box Love Below was in front of them. And I was like, oh man, I love that album. They were like, yeah, we're supposed to interview them, later today. You know, we're really excited, but we really don't know a lot about Outkast. So I start going in because I'm an Outkast fan.
Right.
So I start going in. And while we're talking, their boss, who's on the other side of the cubicle, gets a call that they have to move the interview to the next day. So he's like, hey guys, they got to move the interview to tomorrow. And they're like, oh shit, we can't do it. We won't even be in town. And he's like, well, and he like knew of me because I was at Sirius. He was like, hey, you sound like you know a lot about Outkast. Do you want to do the interview? Yes. So that was my first interview. My very first interview was with Outkast.
Wow.
And yeah, like I love me some Outkast.
Right.
And then, and so then I was at Sirius for a few years. And, yeah, I don't want to tell another negative story, so.
No,
then I wasn't. then I wasn't at Sirius.
Right. What happened? You a magician because you magically appear at a job and then you just disappear.
What other version of that is there?
I'm just saying.
The only job I got fired from. This is the only job I've got fired from.
How you get fired?
So my boss was this brother who I will not even honor by naming him.
Okay.
He had a little ass chain and a high booty. Okay. And he had a poster of Condoleezza Rice. And he would send us memos with intros from different generals. Like, there would be like a memo with like a paragraph from General McCarthy and Norman Schwarzkopf. I'm like, this is hip hop, nigga. Why am I having to deal with this? And he came into my studio. Well, the first time we ever met, I went to dap him and he said, keep it corporate.
Whoa.
So that was our very first interaction. I went to, and he said, keep it corporate. I said, okay. Remember, I'm 21.
Right.
Okay. Then a week later, he came into my studio and he said, so, you know, I just wanted you to know that I know that you're spoiled and I'm going to expose you.
Huh?
And I'm 21 and I'm in New York, right?
Yeah.
So my instinctual response to that is I have to prove him wrong. And my way to prove him wrong is I have to pull him in, you know, I have to show him. No, like, right. I'm Amanda. Like, I'm not spoiled. I've worked really hard for all of this shit. Like, get out of here. So I spent the next 2 years really doing my best to make shorty swing my way, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Not in a romantic way, but in a professional way. So I'm showing up early. I'm staying late. You know, I'm doing all the interviews. Everybody knew me at Sirius because I am a true full-fledged hip hop head. You know what I'm saying? So they knew that when they brought their artists there, like, it's going to be a real interview. It's not just going to be some canned that they just get everywhere else. So I got really cool with the radio, execs, et cetera. So, you know, and then at one point in time, so once I went on tour with Flowetry, he flipped because he wanted to be a star. And I was like, in his mind, I guess, getting stardom. So once I went on tour with Flowetry, I was like, oh, I could record on tour. And he just was not let it happen. Once I came back from the Flowetry tour, it was never cool again.
No, right.
Never cool again. And he started doing weird stuff like lying about people coming to the show, you know, to the station. And so I remember at the time I was seeing Lupe and, Lupe hit me and was like, why am I coming to the radio station? I'm not going to interview with you. And, you know, he don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm like, why is Lupe Fiasco coming to the radio station, but he's not interviewing with me? He's like, well, how did you even know he was coming? You don't need to know how I know that.
Yeah.
The question is, why are you keeping
inviting
me out?
Right.
Yeah, like, why are you keeping me out? He said, you need to give other people a chance. Mind you, I'm not stopping anybody else.
Right. But if they want to interview with you, they want to interview with you.
But also the way Sirius is set up, as you know, they're going to interview with a myriad of people.
Right.
So I am not in any way an
You're not the only one they're interviewing with. Yeah.
He's just trying to keep them from interviewing with me.
Right.
I remember Hov came and he was just like sitting in the lobby and I had come into work and I was like, what are you doing? You just sitting here? He was like, yeah. I was like, you want to do an interview real quick? I got a studio. He's like, yeah, no problem. So we go do the interview. They tried to fire me because they said I interviewed Jay-Z without clearance. Now, you know,
they should have been applauding you.
And it was pre-recorded. So, like, if you didn't want to use the interview, you didn't have to use the interview. But they tried to say that I was, like, stepping outside of, you know, the protocol.
But it aired on their station. It wasn't like you aired it somewhere like it was like, I got this interview. I'm going to put it on my IG page. I'll put it on my Facebook page. It aired on there. So
there's a book called The Gifted Adult.
Yeah.
And in this book, within the first two pages, they give two examples of adults who are gifted, and it shows up in their overachievement. It shows up in their type A, you know, assessment of things, personality, right? It shows up in their ability to show up. And this becomes a problem at their jobs because people start to feel like they're outworking them.
Mm-hmm.
People start to feel like they're outdoing them.
Right.
And then it becomes, you think you're better than me.
Yes.
So this is the dynamic I have experienced in many places. So whereas you said, oh, they should be applauding you. Mm-hmm. I texted Hov on my T-Mobile Sidekick, because that was the time. And that just lets you know how old we are. And I was like, hey, they're trying to fire me for interviewing you. And he said verbatim what you said. He said, well, not verbatim, but he said they should be promoting you. But notice, who are the overachievers in this conversation? See how all the overachievers had the same response?
Right.
No, I'm in the way. I'm in the way. I'm doing too much. And I'm a girl. I'm a woman. I'm doing too much. Shut the f***.
Okay.
That's what they think. That's what a lot of the energy is. A lot of the energy is shut up. And even if you won't let me, at least make me think.
I got a chance.
Let me let me think. I remember Green Lantern telling me, you know what your reputation is? That you are hard to f*** over and even harder to f***. And I was like, my mother, I'm sure, is very proud. But that was, so, you know, at Sirius, so what ended up happening was I went to HR.
Mm-hmm.
And shared with them, this is before I knew that HR, see the game that you be talking about, that I didn't know that the HR ain't for you. It's for them. So I went to HR like, oh, listen, I'm having trouble with my superior. You know, he's not very kind. And I'm thinking that they're going to set me up to like a solution. Baby, they said, from now on, you will not speak to him. You will speak to this other person who will relay to him.
Wow.
So I'm like, I mean, that's not like a solution, but I guess, you know. So now I do this for a year. I do this for a year. Now I'm dating Pusha T. As you can see, that rappers I have dated are very great MCs because I have high quality. High quality.
Man,
that was two.
Let me say, I'm glad you shared that information, but.
Well, I think it's valid, and shout to Virginia, his beautiful wife and their beautiful son.
Right.
Because we grow up.
Yeah.
You know, we grow up, and I think it's important that we acknowledge that people have like full lifespans.
Yeah, people have passed. People have dated other people that people might know.
You know, and I just feel like if I'm who came before you, you know, I'm a good track record. Yeah. Like, so I remember I got invited to the MTV Music Awards.
Right.
By Push's manager. Mm-hmm. They were like, we're going to be out here. Let us know if you want to come. Now you, if you have someone who's on radio, mm-hmm. and they have a hip hop show, mm-hmm. and they can go to the MTV Music Awards, wouldn't you say,
you send them.
Head on out there, right. Bring a DAT machine and a mic, see how many interviews you can get.
Right.
So I tell the person that I have to talk to the boss, I want to go. Can we find someone to cover my shift? He says, yes. He finds someone to cover my shift. He says, your shift is covered. You can go. I head out there. While I'm out there, I get a call from my boss saying, you going to the MTV Music Awards is a example of, severe insubordination. And so we will be terminating your contract. I said, but I followed the protocol.
Got someone to cover my shift.
I spoke to this other person. He said, well, you were supposed to speak to me. Well, not according to human resource. LOL, the person in the back who said, yeah. So I said, well, not according to human resources. He said, well, according to me. So I then went back to.
You ain't get no interviews. At least get the interviews and keep them for yourself.
I didn't even have a DAP machine.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I went back to New York and they fired me. And then I went on MySpace and I said, you know, I did like an announcement, like, you know, you won't be able to hear my show anymore. It's really unfortunate that my boss, you know, who is a Black man, just didn't feel like it was wasn't necessary for him to protect me in this situation. But nonetheless, it is what it is. And I hope that I can create other ways, you know, to reach y'all. He saw that post, used it, and had me banned from Sirius for 7 years. He said that that post was an indication of my, like, wanting to come back and, like, harm him. Mm. That little chain high booty. Get you every time. Get you every time. But you know what? That situation speaks to a number of situations where people holding me mm-hmm. to a standard they don't hold them. So it was like, I'm going to treat you any old way, and you just going to take, you accept just need to it. Take it. You just need to accept it. And I don't know when this happened, Shannon, but even within the zeitgeist now, it's like, I am expected to just take whatever is given to me and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I don't understand that. No right. matter what jobs I've had, if I speak on it, it becomes, she's complaining. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I'm expressing my experience.
Right.
And if you haven't noticed, remember I told you, I'm just giving you.
Right.
This happened, and this happened, and this happened.
Right.
I'm not speaking to what they thought. I'm not speaking to how they made me feel. I'm just telling you these are the series of events. And you can judge for yourself.
Right.
But ultimately, this idea that, like, I am somehow not allowed to have struggle. Like, I'm not allowed to have a bad experience without there being this doubt painted on me.
Quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, and delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce the cost and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Shay Shay.
I remember my really good friend, my ace Boon Coon, she... She used to hear me tell stories and she would be like, and she revealed this later. She was like, you know, I would say to myself, she must be leaving something out. There's no way this could have happened this way.
Right.
She must be leaving something out until I got kicked out that Emmys party.
What'd you do to get kicked out the Emmys party? Damn, we can't take you nowhere. What'd you do?
I go to a lot of places because I'm lovable and people like me and I'm delightful. I am delightful.
What did you do?
I arrived.
Okay, you arrived. Okay, you're inside.
No. So here's how it went. So because Hollywood is just so inundated with whiteness, there was this conglomeration of folks that came together to say, you know what? We're going to have a Black Emmys party. Because, you know, have you been to the Emmys parties?
I've never been to an Emmys party.
So, like, they're just, you know, they're just very blah. Like, it's just a bunch of people sitting around like, am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right? Oh, my God. Kirsten. Like, that's
yeah.
the vibe.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we party, we want to have a little bit more
yeah.
fun to it. You know, call D nice. What up, Derek? So, in 2018 was the first one where they had a Black Emmys party.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, it's like everybody who done been to all them other parties.
Come in this one.
Yes. And I went to that party with Jill Scott. And one of the people that planned that party was Issa Rae's publicist,
mm-hmm.
Vanessa Anderson. So she was one of the planners of the party. But there's a bunch of people involved right. in planning this party.
Correct.
So I show up with Jill, and Jill's manager was like, hey, you know, can we... And I remember hearing Vanessa go like, oh, come on, Amanda. Mind you, I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong right here.
Right.
Like, I'm just standing with Jill Scott.
Right.
But nonetheless, we came to the party. We had a great time. So... But it, and I said to Issa, like, I don't know what's going on with your publicist, but like, she got something wrong. She got a problem with me. And she was like, that's between y'all.
Okay.
I said, well, it's not really between y'all, because I don't have a problem with her.
Right.
But she seems to have a problem with me. And she was like, that's none of my business.
Okay.
Okay. So now next year is 2019. And it was interesting because in 2018, it was packed like a dick in front of that place. In 2019, there was like nobody there. But I was at the HBO party, and every Black person I saw, I would tell them, make sure you go to the Black Emmys party, because I am about creating community and I want us to be together.
Right.
So I pull up with my homegirl, Kathia, and Kendrick Sampson, who's on Insecure. You know, the show where I don't have any friends.
Yeah.
I pull up with Kendrick Sampson. So we get to the door, and I learned later that she just is white passing, but this is a Mexican girl, but like, she looked like a white girl.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she at the door for the
Emmys.
For what kind of party?
Emmys Black party.
There you go. So she tells us, you can go in, you can go in, you can't go in. Now I think she's talking to my friend, because my friend is a realtor.
Right.
And she says, no, you can't go in. And I said, well, why can't I go in? She says, you're just on the list to not be able to go in. Now, I had also been invited to this party directly by Jesse Williams.
Right.
So Jesse Williams had texted me and said, please come to the Black Emmys party.
Right.
Okay. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna come to the Black Emmys party. Yeah, of course. Like, that's what I am about. So I come to the party, and I'm like, okay, why am I not being let in? Kendrick says, I'm going to go look. I'm going to go look around and see why you're not being let in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, baby, I'm not standing outside no party.
Right.
So I head out. But then I'm stopped by this brother, Joey Harris, who works with Janet Jackson. Joey's like one of these people who's just always, his disposition is just always like mm-hmm. glowing. It's kind of like Jordan.
Right.
So he's like, where are you going? I'm like, oh, they said they won't let me in the party. He's like, absolutely not. Come on back. We gonna get you in this party. Okay. So we come back. And so this is an example of someone trying to protect and look out, right? So he brings me back, and he's like, why are you not letting her in the party? By the way, at this time, I'm hosting Bring the Funny on NBC.
Right.
There is a billboard the size of a hotel two blocks away with me and my co-stars on the show, Chrissy Teigen, Jeff Foxworthy, and Kenan Thompson. And can I just put a pin in this really quick to give them their props? I had a real hard time on Insecure, and I'll get to that, but being on this show was so affirming, because everyone there was so just happy to be happy. And I hadn't experienced that on that set. Like, from the showrunner to the writers to my stage manager, Roger, to my co-stars, like, I just got to be myself.
Right.
And it really let me know it's not you, it's the environment. And I don't get to talk enough about like the positive shit, because people are always so attracted to the negative.
Yeah.
But I remember day one, Chrissy Teigen, we had to do rehearsals for the first day, and they had me in these stilettos, Shannon. Oh my God. Like, I would have had you on the whirlpool. Yes. The feet were crying. And it was, I had an injury from these fucking stilettos. And the next day, Chrissy Teigen brought a foot massage from, Sharper Image and left it in my dressing room for the duration of the shoot. Like, that's the kind of people, you know, just generous for
right.
no reason.
Right.
Right. And we just had a blast. We had such a good time. And I remember Jeff Foxworthy one time, they wanted us to do this ad where we had to pass around a drink. And I don't drink. So it's like, I don't mind drinks being around, but like, me pretending like I drink ain't my job.
Right.
So I was like, I just don't feel comfortable doing this. Now it becomes a thing. This is how I get labeled difficult.
Mm.
Cause we didn't get any prep for this, but you need to go along with whatever they give you. Didn't you know that? Whatever they give you,
no.
you're supposed to do.
No.
Well, when you're a woman, it's even more, shh, quit stirring up trouble. So Jeff Foxworthy saw shit going left, and he stepped in, and he said, yeah, I don't feel comfortable with it either.
Wow.
he used his fame, his white manness, you know, he used his disposition to just take the heat off of me. He said, I got you. To this day, I really want to do a show with Jeff Foxworthy. We would just like fish and talk shit. Like, right. That's a goal I want to do. So let me know if you want to produce
it. You ever been fishing?
I've been present while someone is fishing, but I have not been given my
rod. So you hadn't had a rod or a pole in your hand?
But so I have dated men from the South. I have been present and had crappie cooked for me, yes.
Oh, okay. So.
Yes.
So I think you'd be more of a shore fisherman, you know, on the land.
Cast can't be in the boat?
Oh, Lord.
I'm generally,
but I'm saying we go baby step.
It's harder in the boat than on the land.
Yeah, probably so.
Really?
Because you're not as, now,
it all depends. I thought there were more fish in the center.
They're more fish out. Yeah, but when they go way out there, they're normally fishing for a particular type of fish. Like when you're on the shore, you fish for anything to bite. Catfish, crappie, you know, perch, bass. But normally when you go out, you fish for, you know, maybe you're trying to catch tuna, you caught branzino, something like that.
Huh.
Tuna.
Snapper?
Yes.
Okay. I'm into it.
You know about fish, you just never actually had a rod in your hand and like brought it in.
I hyperfixate. So I know a lot about a lot of things because I become
immersed.
Yes. So like I'm a scuba diver, so I know a lot about fish. And then at one point it was like, I'm gonna learn everything I know about dogs. And now I'm gonna learn everything I need to know about Game of Thrones. I'm gonna learn everything I need to know about, you know, NCAA football. Like, I mean, like, but I do know a lot about fish.
Yeah. So you say you
know, because I'm in the middle of a story and sometimes I veer off, but I always come back.
Because I want to make sure we get to your insecure role.
So I just wanted to shout that out because Bring the Funny was a beautiful experience and it was super, 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 duper, super duper dope. So when we're here and Joey Harris is trying to get me in this party, the white girl says again, the white passing girl says again, yeah, no, she can't come to the party. So Joey's like, let me go inside and figure out what's going on. Again, I'm not about to stand out here.
Right.
So I start to walk away again, and now Elijah Kelly comes out. He's like, hey, where you going? I said, they not trying to let me in this party that I was invited to.
Right.
By Jesse Williams. Mm-hmm.
Did you attempt to call Jesse?
I texted him.
Okay.
But he's in a party.
Right.
You know, so I texted him. So then Elijah is like, well, I'm one of the planners of the party. So they can't stop you. They can't stop me from bringing you in.
Right.
So he starts to bring me in and homegirl grabs my arm. But I remember when I told you I've been a New Yorker since I was 12.
Uh-oh.
I had to shake that off.
Yeah. Lose me.
Yeah. I'm crazy. So we go in the party and I go and sit down. No, sorry. I go in the party. I go by the bar. Mm-hmm. My homegirl goes to the bathroom. I'm standing by the bar and a security guard approaches me.
Uh-oh.
A security guard your size approaches me and says, hey, I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And I said, well, why do I need to leave? And he said, because you're being asked to leave. I said, well, who's asking me to leave? He said, well, let me go find out.
Well, you came and say something, they're asking you to leave, and you don't know who's asking me to leave. You got to go find out.
He was given an order.
Yeah.
So now he comes back, and he says, Vanessa Anderson is asking you to leave. I said, well, you need to find Vanessa and have her come tell me herself.
Is that Issa Rae's publicist?
Yes. I said, well, you need to have Vanessa come and find me and tell me herself. So he then leaves again and comes back with three other men. And one of the men now is a brother, and he's walking towards me cursing. So he's literally walking towards me saying, you need to get the fuck out of here. You need to leave. And I'm like, mind you, I'm dressed down, honey, okay? And he's like, you need to leave. Now, Kathia was in the bathroom. She's now just come up. And I'm looking around, and I can see people seeing the ruckus. Right? So I'm like, why do I have to leave? Because we said so. So there's like violent energy and language coming towards me, right? I ain't no sucker. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, but I'm also not stupid. I can't fight four men. Right. So, like, I mean.
Right.
So, The first one, who was kind, he had come up right here, but then the other three were right here. So I have to realize I've lost this fight. Mm-hmm. So I pivot to leave, but I pivot really fast because I'm going to still say my mother piece. So when I pivot and I say, I pivot to go you, I guess they thought I was about to do something. So the white guy steps in between me and the brother and chest bumps me and throws me back.
Right.
So now this is an assault because I hadn't raised my hand to do anything to anybody. So luckily I'm nimble in a heel. So but now it's like, you know, now I've been assaulted. So your natural response. So I'm about to go Super Saiyan on these motherfuckers. It's Goku over here. I'm like, and I hear in one ear, I hear the security guard saying, please, Amanda, don't do it. And it feels like, please, Miss Celia, don't do it. Don't be like me, Miss Celia. Don't be like Miss Sophia. And then in the other ear, I have my homegirl who's from the Bronx like, what the f*** is going on? This is some bullshit. And all I'm hearing is beep. But I look around and I see nobody coming to my aid. All these agents and people that I see around. Now, none of them are Insecure. None of them are the actors from Insecure. Mm-hmm. But there's people whose faces I still remember. And they will not get a hug in a party either. I just refused somebody a hug the other day for this. And I realized, like, you got to go. So we walk outside and the security guard says to me, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just doing my job. And I said, I feel you. But you have to ask yourself, is it worth doing a job that makes you go against your moral compass? And he was like, dang. So I hope he left that job because he could tell that he was mixed up in some bullshit. So we're in a back alley, like waiting for a car, and I'm crying because this feels like, you know, I've been humiliated and I didn't do nothing. And that was the night that me and my homegirl became super, like, that became my sister, because she was like, when you would tell me that shit would happen to you, I would think she must be keeping something out.
Right.
But I literally just watched you do nothing. You literally just came somewhere you were invited.
Right.
And even though you tried to leave, multiple people said, no, you belong here. Multiple people, another person on this team said, you belong here, so I'm bringing you in here. And then when I tell the story on my Instagram and on my podcast, it ends up getting turned into this whole other thing of, you don't belong here. Amanda Seals doesn't belong here. And that's the thing. That's a narrative that has come about. Like,
that's
what's
been perpetuated.
Yes. I don't belong in these places. And what ended up happening 2 days later is that I got a call from Issa. And she called me and said, hey, I heard what happened this weekend. I just want you to know I have nothing to do with it. Would you be willing to talk to Vanessa?
No, I tried to talk to Vanessa at the party. She 2 days too late.
So I've never talked about this publicly, because it has always been incredibly important to me to protect Issa. Because I know that Issa is doing something within this business that so few people get to do. Mm-hmm. And it's not something I desire to do. Like, I'm not interested in getting a $100 million production deal. Like, that's not a life that I want for myself. But I know that her role is very important. And so I've always protected Issa. However, there's just been enough instances at this point where I should have been protected by Issa and I wasn't. And one of my biggest problems that we have discussed several times in this interview is that I think people are going to show up for me the way I show up for them. Mm-hmm. And now it's at a point where my protecting of Issa has become turned on to me and something that people are using against me. There's a whole narrative that is completely false that people keep spinning. They keep saying, you know, that I'm this mean girl on this set, that I harmed these people on this set. I just want to point out something very basic. How can I be a mean girl on a set that ain't my set? How? It's your show. You are my boss. I don't even have the capacity to be the mean girl here.
Right.
Because you can fire me. So there's no way for me to be a mean girl in this situation. And I know some people that may buck up against like the confirmation bias that they've created, but it simply is the truth. You know, when I got to that show, I had a show on Issa's website on YouTube. I had my show Get Your Life. And when it came out on her YouTube, unfortunately, the press picked it up as Issa Rae's new show.
Right.
But she didn't do anything except put it on her site. Like, right. I put all my money into it. I wrote it. I starred in it, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so I said, hey, you know, would you mind, you know, tweeting to correct this? And she just wouldn't. She wouldn't promote any of the shows, you know? And I just felt like that was unfortunate, but it didn't change my view of her character. Like, it just let me know, like, okay, this is how she do business. But in that time, her publicist was interacting with me and was from just day one, just so acerbic, like just vitriolic for no reason, to the point where Issa's business manager had to say to the publicist, like, can you please try and be kinder to Amanda? She's like a talent on our channel.
Do you? And you have no reason.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Why she would treat you, behave.
So, Issa says, would you talk to Vanessa?
No.
I said, sure. You know why?
Why?
Who's my boss? Who's my boss in this situation?
Well, Issa is the boss.
And where do I have to go back to work?
Insecure.
So what's the game you talked about?
You had to play the game. But hold on. But there was a situation earlier, Amanda, where she said, that ain't my business. Y'all need to handle that. Now she wants you to talk to her.
You're good at math. You good at math, Sharpton. Shannon Sharpton.
I'm just saying because you like...
You can't spell Sharpton without Sharp now.
Man, so, okay, you have...
So I take the call.
You should have said, I want to meet face to face. I want to look a woman. I like to look a person
in the eye. My feelings were hurt. I just got assaulted in a party for black people in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I've been in Hollywood longer than majority of the people in this fucking party.
Right.
My feelings are hurt.
Okay, you take the call. Ring. Hello?
Hi, Amanda. This is Vanessa. I just want you to know that, so none of this has anything to do with Issa. That's the first thing she says. None of this has anything to do with Issa. So I just want you to know that. But I do want you to understand that it was me who kicked you out the party. Okay. So I just want you to know that the reason I kicked you out the party is because I don't like you. Okay. Well, that's all I need to know. There's nothing else for us to talk about. And I hang up. She calls me back immediately. Why'd you hang up? I said, because there's nothing else for us to talk about. She says, don't you want to know why I don't like you?
No, not actually. Actually, I don't.
No, I don't. Because it's none of my business. I've never done anything to you. And for you to put me in harm's way off of literally nothing means that I don't need to talk to you about why you don't like me. You need to talk to your therapist about why you don't like me. And I hung up the phone.
She called back?
No, she called around. She starts a smear campaign.
Oh. So this whole time, your boss, and I don't like, I don't do the gossip thing. So have you ever had a conversation with Issa about this situation, about her publicist?
You're saying since the situation?
At any point.
Well, I had that one time where I said to you.
Yeah, and she said, well, that y'all need to work that out. That ain't got nothing to do with me.
So now after this conversation with the publicist, and I get off the phone, I start getting word that she is going around to the different publications and different people, because it starts coming back to me. Mm-hmm. And she's going around saying that I was in danger of getting fired from Insecure, which I don't even know if that was true or not, but I had never... That had never been brought to my attention. She starts going around saying that I got in a fight at the party. She starts going around saying that I peed on the floor at the party.
What are you, a puppy?
I got to move it to the side. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about?
So let me ask you this.
So, well, I feel like I'm going to answer your question.
Okay.
So Issa then calls me again and says, hey, I just want to know if this is going to be a problem on set. Because now this is going on for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. And this going viral, earlier in the conversation, you were like, why do you care if people who don't know you, mm-hmm. like, are saying mean things about you? And it's like, I wish I had that. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm there. No. But it's really f***ed up when the pylon happens and it has nothing to do with reality. Like, I don't even mind a pylon if it's something I really did.
Right.
This situation, I'm like, how am I the villain in this situation? Well, you shouldn't have gone to her party because it was her party. Well, it's not just her party. There's several people at the party. It's not like I crashed her baby shower.
Right.
But also, I'm looking at Issa because it's like, this is your responsibility. We are both your employees. Mm-hmm. And this is a part of leadership. This is the important part of leadership. And that's what makes leadership so annoying, is you got to manage people.
Yes, you do.
And personalities. And it's a
very difficult task.
But it is par for the course.
Yes, but that's why you got the $100 million or whatever you got, is to manage your employees.
So I said, you know, listen, I am not saying that it's going to be a problem on set, but I do think it is a problem that you don't feel that you need to step in. And she was like, well, then we just have a difference in opinion. Like, this is between y'all. This is between y'all.
Well, if it was between us, why'd you intervene and say that she wanted to call her, I needed to talk to her, if you felt it was just between us? Because you interjected yourself into that. If it's between two people, I shouldn't have interference from someone else to say we need to get together. The two people, either she reaches out to me or I reach out to her. I don't need you to intervene, but you felt the need to intervene in that. But now you don't feel the intervention to go any further. Oh, sorry.
So I'm also promoting my book.
Right.
So this hits me because now the press is canceling. So this is now affecting me professionally. And I didn't do shit.
Right.
And I don't like you, in my opinion, is not a sufficient reason to sick 4 security guards on me and remove me from a black space.
Right.
Which also begs the question, what the f*** is a black space? Because we like to claim that they're safe spaces, mm-hmm. and, you know, that they're for us. But at this point, black spaces are literally, it's just black faces.
Right.
And that even is, you know, something to do with this pressure that I've been going through. But to stay on course. So now we have to go back to shooting.
Mm-mm. Uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable. And I ain't even on set.
And nobody's saying nothing to me. Everybody knows, because at this time, it's just the women shooting. Everybody knows what's going on. They don't say nothing to me. And that's just fucking mean. It's mean. They don't say nothing to me. And let me tell you, from the beginning, I've been trying with these ladies. Because I want to make community everywhere I go. I done invited them to my house. They didn't come. I brought them gifts. They said thanks. I tried to plan a retreat. They said we don't want to go. You know, I created our group chat for the show. I created game nights for the show.
Nobody participated.
I mean, eventually, but like...
Reluctantly.
But I'm trying to do this, you know, because I think that this is... It's like when I walked in and I was like, I feel like it's my role to make you feel comfortable. Like, I feel like that's my way of getting around this thing, this stigma that people like to put on me that ain't got to do with how I really exist.
Okay.
And in this situation now, I'm publicly now being like excoriated. You got this earthworm gym looking nigga, Sarunas, out here talking about, well, you don't, no one likes you, so that's why you weren't invited. What's hilarious about that is that we were only in two scenes together. So this is not somebody that really knows me. But you know what the other thing is, Shannon Sharpton?
What happened?
This is a brother who ended up having a child with someone on the show. And when he had the child, there was rumors that were going around that he was not claiming the child.
Uh-huh.
And so these people had started talking about it. But the people that are talking about ain't my people. I'm not involved in it, but I hear it because we on set.
Right.
And then he come around and it's, hey, I don't like that. I don't like that. It's not honest. So even though that's not my boy, I pull him to the side. I say, Pete, people out here are talking about you behind your back about this situation.
The street's talking.
And I said, listen, this is a small business. So at the end of the day, if you are this child's father, I think you should exclaim it to the rooftops. If you are not, claim, if you are and you don't want to claim this child, I would like for you to just consider rethinking that. Because as somebody with a father that did not show up for me, I really feel like she would really benefit from having a father in her life.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, well, why ain't nobody coming to me? I said, I'm literally coming to you right now. And you ain't even my peoples.
Right.
But I don't think it's fair that you're being talked about behind your back by people that you think are your peoples.
Mm-hmm.
He said, well, you know, thank you for that. That's the same nigga that fixed his mouth to jump on the bandwagon of We Hate Amanda. Because it was a bandwagon. And he want to be seen. He
thought maybe he was gonna.
He thought he was gonna get an extra. Right. He thought he was gonna get an extra scene or something. So now we're on set, and I finally say to Issa, "So are you just not gonna talk about this? Because it's now going on for 3 weeks, and my mental health is suffering. Okay.
Mm-mm.
And I just what I just it was a tough time. And she's like, well. You know, like, what do you want to talk about? And I said, listen, like, this was a terrible experience.
Right.
This was terrible. And I, like, literally cried, like, face to face with her, like, this is terrible. And she's like, this is the first time she finally says, like, well, I'm sorry that happened to you. It took three conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, you know, I'd like to talk to you further because I need you to speak to Vanessa. She is trying to ruin my career. She's like, I don't think so. Like, she's trying to ruin my, like, I bring her into the room. I bring her into my trailer, and I had to do another 48 Laws of Power. I sat her on a higher plane than myself so that she can feel as the queen. And in this setting, she is the queen.
Right.
And I say, you know, I don't need nothing from you. So I don't have a reason to lie to you. But the people that work for you, like, in close quarters, whose names are really attached to you, they will lie to you. And I had to convince her that, like, this is really happening. Like, I'm not making this up. And even if it's turns out to be not happening, I still need you to speak to her to deduce what it is, what is or
right.
isn't.
Right.
So then she finally went and spoke to her. But the damage is done. Right? Because now you see how every few years this becomes a thing. And it was started from a lie.
Right.
It was started from a lie. And, you know, it's not about convincing people because I don't need to convince nobody of nothing. But I just don't ever feel comfortable with people forming opinions not based on truth. Shin, I got in trouble for saying nigga on Insecure. I got in trouble for telling a brother he was a revolutionary nigga. In trouble, like literally got pulled aside and was told, we need to talk about the incident that you had.
I guess when you're in corporate, you got to keep it corporate, man.
We say nigga on the show. We say nigga all day on this motherfucking show. And it was a black woman who pulled me to the side. And this brother is tatted from the neck down, wearing, eating edibles on set from Detroit. I mean, that's nigga. But I had said to him, I had said, because someone, there was like a Malcolm X quote in my trailer. And he sets my trailer, my clothes in my trailer. Right. So I came to him, I was like, hey, did you leave that Malcolm X quote in my trailer? And he was like, nah. I was like, damn, you the only revolutionary nigga around here. He was like, I'm not a nigga. And I said, okay, I get it. Who said that? And I kept it moving.
Yeah.
This was the incident. So she's like, we need to talk about the incident. And I said, well.
What incident?
What incident? Well, when you just referred to him as a nigga. So actually, I referred to him as a revolutionary nigga. It was a compliment.
Right.
Yeah, but when he said he's not a nigga, you didn't take it back. I said, like, you mean like take backsies? I mean, where we at? And she was like, well, I said, but we literally say nigga on this show. Like, literally. She's like, well, you're going to need to apologize to him. But this is the action of like, you need to bow down. People are always trying to get me to like apologize for some shit I didn't do wrong, right? because they feel like I'm too haughty. They feel I'm too sure of myself. They feel like I need to be cut down to size all the time. And the unfortunate part of that is that it's not a reflection of me. It's a reflection of them.
Right.
Because what is it about me that makes you feel small and you want me to get down to your level? Why do you feel small? What's going on with you? Who made you feel that way? That's not fair to you. Come on, rise up. It's in you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what that is. So she brings him into my trailer.
You fake apologize.
Because she there. And I was like, oh, you good? She's like, no, I need to stay in case something happens. What's going to happen? I look at him. What you think is going to happen? He's like, I don't know. I was like, oh, my God. I said, you know what? I apologize for calling you nigga. I did not intend to offend you. Of course, in my head, what I said was, I should have called you a bitch, but I didn't say that. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. But it felt like shit.
Right.
It felt like shit. So now we got to shoot the car scene where we're driving in Malibu.
Right.
So we in the car and I'm telling them about what happened and I start crying because I'm a sensitive soul and because this felt like another instance where I was being like bullied. And Issa laughed in my motherfucking face as I was crying and said, well, you know, you do have a tone. At the end of season one, I pulled Issa aside after this. I said, can we go to dinner? I want to take you to dinner. I took her to dinner. I said, you know, I said, I feel like you think I have something against you. And I don't know why you feel that way. Because we had been cool from even before this.
Right.
She was like, well, no, I said, I feel like you have something against me. And she said, well, I feel like you have something against me. And I was like, based on what? Because again, Shannon, I'm on your show.
Right.
I can't do nothing. Like, I'm
only to get scenes added if you add them.
I'm in pocket, baby. I can't do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, well, why? She said, well, I guess I was looking at you like your character. Am I that good of an actress? She wrote the character, bro. What? And so I said, you know what? So let's clean the slate because I have nothing against you. I really don't. And if that came off, that was not my intention. But by the end of the show, you know, there were just certain scenarios where I had to really always be the bigger person and be the balm to the situation. And then in season five, she just came out of her face at me one time too many. And I just chose to stop being the balm because the show was wrapping. It was the end of the season. It was the end of the series. And I'm just not going to keep doing this.
So what did you do?
Nothing. I just stopped communicating.
Oh. I mean, I had Lil Rel, and he says that Issa is most of her set is with women, camera people, et cetera, and that she's very empowering to women.
Oh, I disagree. She wasn't empowering to me. She didn't feel like she didn't feel like I deserved to be protected. I'm only giving a portion of the situation.
Your point of view, yeah.
Yeah. So, but that was my experience.
Okay.
And nonetheless, I have still always protected her because I felt like it was my responsibility to do so, but it is not.
Can I ask you this? When you received the backlash for the sorority, the AKA, do they understand that this is a?
I don't know. Like, I don't. I never understood that.
Do you feel now that everybody just nitpicks? They just find like, okay, Amanda got on red today. Why is she wearing red?
What you think?
I mean,
don't it sound like that?
Is that how you feel?
Absolutely. They are always looking for something. Even these hack writers who were probably paid by AIPAC, they wrote articles based on tweets. Tweets! They wrote articles based on not only my tweets, but on other people's tweets. Like, this random person said Amanda needs to change her energy. Black Enterprise wrote an entire article that said Amanda Seals complains that she's not invited into black spaces. Mind you, these are all spaces that I have worked in. And they and the follow-up line was, but the internet, so they anthropomorphized the entire internet. The internet says Amanda needs to change her energy. I do not need to change my energy. I don't. And all of those spaces, aside from Black Girls Rock, have contacted me. I don't need to change my energy. What needs to change is how we look at energy. And how we understand energies that aren't necessarily our own.
Right.
So even as we sat here and we have talked, I have had to understand your energy. And you have asked me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And even though it may not be my own, we live in this space together. We Correct. Live on this earth together. So we have to gain certain abilities to do that. And that requires a lesser ego. That requires curiosity, which I consider to be an indicative of love. It requires humanity. Like, we live in a world that is continuously creating borders to keep people out because we feel like they don't deserve to be here because they're different or because they love a different kind of person or they believe in something different, et cetera. And I am not that kind of person. I've never been that kind of person. And it is so liberating for me to understand that the reasons that people have been telling me. So you're talking about the nitpicking. It's not just nitpicking. They assign something to what they're nitpicking. Mm-hmm. Amanda has a tone because she's mean. Amanda said this because she thinks she's better than other black people. Amanda said what she said because she's nasty. None of these things are true.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels terrible for people to assign things to you that are not true. And you start to think to yourself, if this is what it's like for me to be myself, then maybe I shouldn't be here. And as somebody who has had a full-on nervous breakdown and been suicidal, it is not to be taken lightly when people attack character without legitimate
reasons why,
credibility, etc. And I was told that one of these publications, it was told to them, you know, this is the type of thing that can drive someone to take their own life. And they said, don't go there. This is not a game. This whole last month has been such a journey of self by fire, right? Like, I was forced to have this journey of self by fire simply because I wanted to be embraced in spaces that I embrace. Like, there's no scandal. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to go to Howard to do an event, and I was told that Howard rescinded my invitation because of these stories. These stories that have no validity to them and that I have not, you know, been a catalyst to, but they are now, they're proving to be deleterious to, like, my advancement. Oh, Amanda Seals, she was attacking Samaria Rice. What? I asked a valid question that ended up being proven, by the way. I asked a valid question. Don't we think that there's something worth questioning and why this woman whose son was 100% unjustly killed by the police? Don't we think there's something to be said for, like, why are all these media outlets, like, giving her a platform to accuse all of these people that are the leaders of movements of fraud? And, you know, my problem is also that I think that people understand what I'm saying when I say something. And, like, when I wrote my first book, my uncle, who's a judge in Grenada, he was like, make sure you edit that book like a deposition. Because it's on paper and people cannot read your mind. So say it how you want it to be understood.
Yep.
Which is difficult in 140 characters.
It is.
But what I was saying with that statement was, why are all of these black media outlets giving a platform without any level of journalism behind it? That is dangerous.
Right.
And they're putting these people, mind you, I don't even Sean King. But again, what am I about? Justice.
Right.
This is Ma'at, the goddess of truth and justice. Mm-hmm. This is unjustified. He was asked by her brother to raise money. When he got the money and found out that she didn't know, she was given the money. These types of turning this space into a gossip space is dangerous, Shannon. We're trying to make movements and change.
But you do realize that's how social media works. I don't have to be qualified. I could be a doctor.
I'm not talking about I'm not talking about social media. This is Black Voices and Brio and The Root, et cetera.
Right.
They were just running with this story because that's how journalism works now. Mm-hmm. It's just clicks. Mm-hmm. So in their minds, it seems like, well, if we put this story out, we're going to get the clicks. Mm-hmm. And then there are going to be follow-ups and we'll get clicks for that.
Right.
And then there's going to be follow-ups. So let's not tell the whole story now.
Right.
Let's string this along like a soap opera.
Yeah.
It's people's lives. Mm-hmm. So I was justified in that. People mad at me because I said, you know, if you got Nikes and Jordans, if you got money for Nikes and Jordans, you got a passport, you're losing. Amanda Seales is a member of the petty bourgeoisie. She is making fun of the disenfranchised passport Black folks. What are you f***ing talking about? Do you understand these people don't want us here? They don't want us here. We need to be able to get out of here.
But
when you go all over this world, white people are everywhere. Did you know that? They everywhere, having a great time. And we be thinking that we are only allowed to be here. This world is for us. We are the bottom line. We are the creators. So why would we not make sure that we have access to everything instead of limiting ourselves to consumerism? We can do both.
Yes.
We can do both. And one thing I've had to learn is just like, sometimes I just be talking.
Right.
Now, by the way, the reason I sent that text is because I was sitting in the Paris Charles de Gaulle airport and the nigga I was seeing, I had texted him and said, I got to Paris. I can't wait for you to get your passport and travel with me. And he had said, I don't need a passport. I travel in my mind.
That's how I like somebody see it.
And that's what made me send that tweet. But again, no further context, but people do nitpick. And it sucks because you start to believe the lies that people tell you about yourself. And then you start to turn into the person that they are accusing you of being. They want you to be somebody who doesn't give a They want you to be somebody who doesn't care if you hurt people. And I will say that most people don't get the opportunity to do a blanket apology, but since I have it, I'll take it. I apologize to anybody that I have unwillingly caused any level of discomfort. That's never my goal. Never my goal. And anyone who's taking that apology and knowing that it's not for you, because it wasn't for you.
Considering what's been the way you've been portrayed, and you said Issa said, well, your character, I believe that you were your character considering she wrote the character. Do you ever get afraid of being typecast?
No, because I think everybody gets afraid of being typecast. I mean, especially like if you light skin, like there's in Black spaces, oftentimes it's like, okay, you're going to play like the bougie light skin girl,
right.
You know? I think that there's something to be said for like, I get accused of being colorist based on stuff like that, you know, like, which I am 1000% not, by any means. I think in the past there were things that were like misinterpreted that have, it's not even that they've typecast me like on camera. It's like I'm typecast in life.
Right.
Right. So like people have, like, I remember on a Breakfast Club interview, they asked me like, what are reasons people don't like you? This is always the conversation. What are reasons people don't like you? So I went down the list of reasons that people have told me that they don't like me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons was I have been told several times, I don't like you because you're light skinned. And I said that and that offended people because they thought that I was somehow in saying that it was something
as a negative.
Like it was something positive, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, there is no way in the dissemination, the effective dissemination of white supremacy, that we would not have dark-skinned women who don't like you because you light skin and light-skinned women who don't like you because you dark skin. They have been very effective at that division.
Yeah.
So I was just stating a fact, but not stating I wasn't trying to legitimize it.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like, this is something that has been said to me.
Right.
You know, and I am, and it took me also a little bit to understand that colorism only works one way.
Right.
I don't know if bullying is the right word for what happens to light-skinned black folks who feel like they don't belong.
Right.
Because that's the thing. Like, I get told, like, oh, you light-skinned, you're not really black. But, like, I'm light-skinned because my great-great-great-grandmother was raped.
Right.
By James Uhle in Virginia. Or in Maryland, I should say. Who then subsequently had children every month after that for 12 months with other slaves that he owned, and he put his name on their birth certificates. And this means that I'm also possibly related to Robert E. Lee. I am light-skinned because my great-grandmother on my mother's side was raped by her boss when she was a maid in Grenada. So I just feel like we oversimplify in a way that feeds this white supremacist ideology, and instead of looking to each other to say, how do we starve it with love and loving each other? So, you know, I am not colorist. There are many times where I have had to consciously remove myself from spaces because these people don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And they're like, well, you're black. You know, like this designer in Russia wanted me to be the face of her Africa campaign. I said, ma'am. The only way I can do that is if I am partnered in equal level with a dark-skinned person from the continent.
Right.
And they were like, ugh, you're just doing too much now. We don't even see race.
Don't you just love that one? Okay, currently you're on Kevin Hart's LOL Network.
No.
You done with that?
That ended like 2 years ago.
Kevin, people's taking shots at Kev. I know Kev a little bit. But I think he's great at what he does. I know he's an extremely hard worker. He puts a lot of time into his craft, and he's built a platform that tries to elevate people. Oh, Lord.
I think that's his goal, but I don't know that his staff has the same fervor for that he does.
Okay.
And I don't know that he's I'm saying this literally, like, I don't know if he's necessarily empowered them to do that. Mm-hmm. I literally don't know. I know that he voiced his intentions to me, mm-hmm. but they were unable to be carried out.
Right.
And I have no hard feelings. Kev, right. Kev looked out for me in a situation that, Live Nation tried to cancel my whole tour. And I had to call people I know that, got the juice.
Right.
And
Kev, for you.
And Kev answered the call.
That's unbelievable.
And it was a time where I didn't have other jobs. So if I didn't do them shows, there was no money.
Right.
Because my man made no money. And he wasn't trying to make no money. So I was the only one making the money.
Right.
And I remember sitting in my...
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
living room, like staring off into space, and he came in because I was quiet. And if Amanda's quiet,
yeah,
we in a problem. And my man came, my ex, he came in and was like, "Was you good?" And I was like, "No. Because if I don't do these shows, we will not have money."
Right.
"For the bills." And so I really appreciate Kev, because he didn't have to do that, and he did.
Right. Bring the funny. You spoke highly of that. Chrissy Teigen, Jeff Foxworthy, Kenan Thompson.
I do have a radio show now, though.
Tell us about it. What do you get to talk? What do you like about the radio show now? Because you obviously you're very opinionated. You have a lot to say. And when you're on the radio, you get to take your time and go. Tell us about your radio show. People that are listening, Amanda, for the first time, what can they expect?
To listen, laugh, and learn. They're going to laugh and they're going to learn all day long. I love my radio show. Mm-hmm. Radio One Reach Media, they've just been such great partners. It really showed me what it's like to work in a place that sees you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that came correct from day one. I never have to convince them of anything. You know, they respect my wisdom about things. They respect my awareness about things. So I don't have to, you know, try to win over and And I always thought that my own show would be a TV show, mm-hmm. but it's a radio show. And it ends up being so much better because I have so much freedom. And I get to speak to people where we're right now. We're syndicated in a number of cities, including D.C. We're on Magic in D.C. We're on 103 in Philly. We're in Houston on The Box.
Right.
You know, we're in major markets. And I just didn't realize that people really be listening to TV. I mean, to radio. Mm-hmm. People really be listening to radio, Shannon.
They do.
And so it's just been really great to see how many people, like, I remember, so we do a word of the day where I teach a vocabulary word. And this bus driver, I went to Selma for the commemoration of Bloody Sunday. Yep. And this bus driver in Alabama, because we're on in Muscle Shoals, she was like, "I just want you to know that I play your radio show in the bus for my kids."
Wow.
And she was like, "Our favorite segment is the vocab segment."
Right.
So I have my co-host Supreme, and I just make it my business. I take it very seriously that... Right. A lot of people are only getting this news from me.
Mm-hmm.
So I just make it my business to be very fact-based, mm-hmm. and then opinion.
Right.
You know, because I think we've gotten in a world where we can't really tell when it's facts and when it's opinion.
Yeah.
And that's dangerous.
Very.
Making progress with your money starts today. With the right checking account, this year can feel easier. Chime Online Checking Account has tons of benefits that millions of members love, like fee-free overdraft up to $200 for eligible members. It's a debit card so good, your overdraft-paying friends will want to switch too. Plus, get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit while managing your money on the go 24/7. Overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up a qualifying direct deposit. Just set up a qualifying direct deposit. Sign up for SpotMe, and Chime will spot you up to your limit when you make a debit card purchase or cash withdrawal that exceeds your balance. Sign up for Chime today. Joining just takes minutes. Get started today at Chime.com/Shay Shay. That's Chime.com/Shay Shay. Banking services and debit card provided by Bancorp Bank, N.A. or Stride Bank, N.A. Member FDIC. SpotMe. Eligible requirements, overdraft limits apply. Early access to direct deposit funds depends on payer. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply.
You talked about your time on The Real, and you talked about the bad. Did you have any good times on The Real? Was there anything that you liked about your time there?
I like my team in my dressing room. Listen, your glam squad in those situations be your family, because you there so early in the morning,
right,
every day.
Right.
You know, let me just be clear, though. Like, people like to say that I have issues with my co-hosts on The Real, and I have never voiced that.
Right.
And none of them have ever voiced that.
Right.
And my issue with The Real was about the executive leadership of The Real and,
right,
the fact that we couldn't talk about, like, they would say things like, I remember Tamara wanted to talk about wine, and they were like, "Well, black people don't drink wine, so we're not going to talk about wine."
Wow.
And I'm just like, how's that a thing? But I don't want to say that I didn't have a good time at The Real. It's just that I walked into it and I got blindsided. That's really what happened, Shannon. I got blindsided. I thought that this was going to be a space where I could, like, really be myself, because when I would guest host, mm-hmm. they were so embracing.
Right.
And it just ended up not being that. But you know what really happened at The Real? I taught I reminded those women of their voices. That's what they always tell me. Because they had gotten so used to the bull that they had just laid down their swords. And so I get there and they would be happening. I'd be like, oh, hell no.
Right.
And they'd be like, well, we didn't even know we could say no.
I'm reading and I read this and I'm like, when I was doing my for you about the black publications, no, that spoke out against you. I mean, because you speak so pro-black, and just because you're pro-black doesn't mean you're anti-this. That means you just, I want my people to do really well, and I want my people to understand and be informed and understand the power that they have.
Mm-hmm.
It had to have hurt to have these black publications.
I had a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm.
Talk to me.
It's just the willingness of folks to sell their souls for so little. And I feel like that's what you have to do to like put your gift of being a writer mm-hmm. to work in such a nefarious way.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't met none of these people. I ain't done none of these people. I like to think that they were paid by AIPAC, because if you didn't get a check for this and you just did this just to do it, I'm just like, damn, that's unfortunate for you. But that's a place that I've arrived at.
Right.
Initially, it's crazy to be excoriated in the public in general by like, you know, just people.
Yeah.
But like.
Publications where they're supposed to have people that are journalists that have integrity.
These ain't blogs.
Right. Yeah.
Like, that's crazy. Like, the last time this happened was with this Myron Roll situation years ago, where I was put in a very f***ed up situation. I had to make a judgment call.
Okay.
And people have based my entire character off of this judgment call. People who have never been in this situation. But I did the best that I could with that situation. And I have been affirmed in that choice. But I think that what people fail to understand is that you be in scenarios where you got to make a judgment call.
Instantaneous. You don't have...
And you just doing the best that you got with something that doesn't have a blueprint.
Right.
And so now there's this whole narrative mm-hmm. Amanda Steeles hates black men. That it has no, literally no water. If I hate black men, I want a refund. I want a refund, Shannon. You know how many brothers I have lifted up? I want a refund. I done paid probation fees. Because the niggas can rap and I want them to be able to live in their talent and their truth. I done talked to a damn PO. To vouch, Baldy James, and you owe me money. But like, there's just something very wrong about these places feeling compelled to just speak about somebody with no facts. At least quote somebody I've worked with if you're gonna say I'm difficult to work with. I mean, it's burning bridges in Hollywood. Baby, there ain't no bridges in Hollywood. This Hollywood is a shark infested pool. The only bridge I built was to get me out of it. So I would stop getting bit. So please, stop telling me about burning bridges and then they're in there talking about, oh, she's hubris. Do y'all even know what hubris means? Hubris is a mythological character from Greek mythology who was told by the gods, don't look in that pool. Don't look in that pool. And hubris said, man, I'm going to look in the pool. He defied the gods. Mm-hmm. He looked in the pool and he saw his face. And he was so enamored by his face that he drowned in the pool. So hubris is not someone who is necessarily enamored by themselves. Hubris is the story of a person who defied God. Now you tell me in this whole interview, where have I showed you that I'm somebody who is defying God? I live by God.
Right.
I am spoken to by God. I speak the word. So don't tell me about these words. So journalists using these words so gratuitously is dangerous. It's so dangerous. And I am obsessed with words. I'm obsessed with words, Shannon. I love them so much. And I know that there's people who have lived by the word. If you are somebody of a religion, you live by the word.
Right.
Whether it's the word of Allah or the word of the Bible. You know, if you're somebody who's a lawyer, you understand that this Constitution and the words that are not in it are what continue to keep us oppressed. Words matter. So to have all these people using these words that I love so much against me damn near killed me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness I'm on Lexapro. Because had I not been on this antidepressant, I feel like I would have gone down a much darker hole. But I have a great psychiatrist and I have even better friends. So when you talk about people protecting you, baby, I am protected. I am so loved. And that's why it's so wild to see people saying I'm not likable. You are right. I am not likable. I am lovable. I'm so loved. And it's like I'm in a place right now where for the first time in my life, I feel like the love for myself and the love people have for me are at the same level. And I've never experienced that before. And it took a long time for me to learn that I even had the right to love myself. You know, people say these things like, oh, don't be full of yourself. You better be full of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You better be full of yourself, because then what are you full of? You don't want to be hollow. And you also don't want to be full of everybody else's validation of you, because who are they? And baby, they will run away. When shit go low and they gone, you're empty.
Mm-hmm.
You better be full of yourself. And I have had to learn, as somebody who had a nervous breakdown and was brought to the bottom, and realized that all of my confidence was built on other people's thoughts of me.
Other people's validation.
Everything. And I had to build myself back up. And luckily, I had a therapist who taught me to do that. And I had to build myself back up. And so I tell everybody now, like, no, please be full of yourself and love yourself. And, you know, particularly women, we're not told that we're allowed to name ourselves.
Right.
I am a genius. I'm a gifted performer. I am a gifted person. I am a creative genius. I'm generous. I am giving. I am kind. I'm funny. I'm delightful. Like, these are not things that I need to wait for somebody to say about me. I know these things about myself. Aren't we supposed to be God's children?
Yeah.
And that's not based in religion. That's just based in understanding. That's how I live. I as a spiritual person, I believe I am a child that was made of something other. I don't know what we were made of, but I know that I feel like I was made of something supernatural. And I have a responsibility in that to live at my best. And people don't want to let you grow. People don't want to let you evolve. People don't want to let you find better ways to exist. People are talking to me about from 2005, some interaction they had with me for 30 seconds in 2005. Now you tell me, are you judging people based on a 30-second interaction?
No.
Because why? You might say we had a bad 30-second interaction.
Right.
Yeah. That's it.
I'm probably going to never see that person again, so I don't have a reaction one way or another. The same week
that people are telling in these articles, Amanda Seales is so terrible. She, you know, she has boundaries, etc. The same week they talk about Anthony Mackie. Why let that man have his boundaries? I'm like, I can't call it. I can't call it. And I've decided to stop trying to call it. I put the phone down.
Y'all. The queen came to your defense, though.
Yes, she did. Because I'm loved by the people I love. And that is the biggest honor. Queen Latifah, Dana Owens. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Can you help me understand this?
I wasn't ready for that.
Sometimes, and it's happened before, people in our community forget that they're Black.
The boat.
And they try to appease a group of people that's probably never going to embrace them. And once they realize that, guess who's the first group to take him back?
I don't know her.
You know, I ain't say nobody's name, Amanda. You don't even know who I'm talking about.
I don't know.
How you know who I'm talking about? We've seen this happen before. Rest his soul, O.J. Simpson. You know, he had the famous quote, I'm O.J., I ain't Black. Even Michael Jackson went through what he went through, rest his soul.
Right.
Even Kanye had to be reminded. And now Miss Owens, who, oh, I don't want no Black pilots. I don't want this. I don't want that. And now we can't keep off our Black media stations. When before she gave us her butt to kiss. Now, if I'm lying, if I'm speaking out of turn, people, y'all correct me. But y'all know I'm telling the truth. Now, you're talking about somebody that's always uplifted his community. And I was one of the first guys that had a viral moment with Cat Williams. And they couldn't wait. Excuse me. They couldn't wait to attack me. But Candace has given y'all her butt to kiss for 2 decades. And the moment, what are they doing? They can't fire me. They can't fire me. The hell you say? Now look at her.
It's not her fault.
Who fault is it? No. Let's not take that blame.
The spaces that let her back in.
Huh?
The spaces that let her back in.
Oh, okay. But that's how we are. We're very forgiving people.
Who taught us to be that?
We do.
Who taught us what? Who taught us that version of forgiveness? Do I need to do the lesson?
No, because I know.
Them slave owners taught us that version of forgiveness. They gave us a Bible called the Slave Bible. And this Bible had parts of it taken out. It had the parts of uprisings taken out. It taught about forgiveness because they needed to make it okay in their minds.
No matter how bad I treat you, at some point in time, I need you to forgive me for the wrongs I've done against you.
Because they had convinced themselves that it was still okay to keep people enslaved whose souls were saved.
Yeah.
Even though they knew that that was counterproductive to the teachings that they had learned. So, you know, we are oftentimes forgiving to our own detriment.
We are.
And listen, here's the thing. You know what the thing about forgiveness is that you should absolutely forgive people who ask for it.
Right. Right.
Who ask for it.
And I'm okay with that. I'm okay to forgive.
Redemption,
baby. I don't forget. I just move on.
But redemption requires action.
Mm-hmm.
There are restorative justice practices that have to be implemented in order for atonement to truly take place. And when that's not the course of action, it looks like something else, right?
Yeah.
It looks yucky. But, it looks like capitalism. It looks like clickbait. Yeah. It looks like naivete. It looks dumb. And it looks insulting to anybody who has a mind. Mm-hmm. And ultimately, again, I will bring it back to what makes a black space at this point? Mm-hmm. Because when I create black spaces, Shannon Sharp, mm-hmm. like Smart, Funny, and Black,
right.
like my podcast, Small Doses, my radio show, The Amanda Seale Show, we literally do blackcurrent news. Mm-hmm. When I create black spaces, the word black in that context is always about community. You said it earlier.
Right.
So my problem, like you've already pointed out, is that I'm thinking, well, when they make a black space, it's also the same thing. But baby, I got kicked out of a black space. You know what I'm saying? I literally got kicked out of a black space by a black woman who sicked black people on me, black men on me to remove me. So at this point, I understand that we can't just look at black people and say, is this skin folk or kin folk? We got to look at black spaces. Mm-hmm. Is this skin folk or kin folk? And all of these black media spaces that took her back in, all of these black media spaces that have just excoriated me for weeks, I look at them and say, you are simply black by name because you are white by commerce.
Mm. Wow. When I saw people taking shots at Angel Reese for crying, because for the longest time, you know,
she is a young person. Do you know how disgusting that is? And that cornball nigga who loves to make himself look like he's the white people's savior.
Who said that?
Emmanuel Acko.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Corny C-band ass.
Oh, Lord have mercy, man.
Come talk to me, white people. I'm the black guy that's nice. Cut it out. It's ridiculous.
Man, I know these people, man. I'm gonna have to have...
Well, you're not saying it, I am. You're not saying it. And you don't, and I will let you off the hook. You don't need to respond. Don't feel like you need to defend them.
But
baby, you can't...
I'll let you have your space. This is your safe space to say your piece.
Can I have a hug?
No, you wouldn't give me no hug early. I try to get a dap.
I have to get to a hug. And now I'm there. Can I have a hug?
Yes, you can have a hug.
Thank you.
Watch it. Dang, that was quick. I feel good.
Good.
I feel good.
Good.
You hosted the BET Awards in 2020.
In my house.
And ain't been back.
Shannon, let me tell you, can't nobody say you don't put it together. That's why you were so successful on the field.
Why? Ain't nobody told you why you ain't been, but you can't host no more. You can't.
Well, the internet told me that I haven't been back because I'm not likable. Baby, I hosted the awards in my house.
Yes.
I'm not saying that lightly. COVID was happening, and the stylist... their assistant tested positive, ended up being a false positive, but it tested positive. And 2 days before, I had to host the BET Awards in my house.
Wow.
I find this out. Now, at the time, somebody I had been seeing on and off, we were going to try to see if we get along again.
So you gonna let him come? He was gonna stay for an extended period of time because COVID.
So he was already, he was coming to the house.
Okay.
And we're literally sitting next to each other when I get this call from Jesse Collins. Shout out to Jesse Collins and Dion Harmon. These are two people that are two of the most beautiful human beings on the earth. And Jesse Collins helped break the code for me about me. Mm-hmm. Jesse Collins, without calling me autistic, knew I was before I knew I was. And he literally told the staff, this is how Amanda works. She needs information. That's what she needs.
Lots of it.
She just needs the information. And when she has the information, she's fine.
Right.
So let's just give her that. It doesn't take anything away from us. But some people feel like giving information is like some power struggle type shit.
Right.
But he tells me this, Shannon. So this man, Bodie James, is at my house. And he's like, I don't do physical labor. I'm like, Lord, child. So I get him a check. I get him a check to do the show, mm-hmm. to put this thing together. One thing I'll never take from that man is he did hook up them wires. Okay.
Yeah.
But now I can't have a stylist, a hairstylist, or a makeup artist here. So I end up having to do my own makeup with my makeup artist on my phone, my hair with my hairstylist on, like they're all on FaceTime right. telling me what to do. I did 13 costume changes in my house while this man sat in my backyard on FaceTime telling people, yeah, I saved the BET Awards. And I got him a credit because that's the type of nigga I am. I got him a credit and I got him his check. Now did he, I'm not even, let me stop. But you see how I'm protecting people that don't protect
me? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You see how I was about to do that? Because he's the type of person that would take things to another level. He tried to extort me once.
You've been having a rough go with me.
I know, because I didn't have a father that really taught me what to do. And because I present to people in a way that they deem masculine, but it's really just passion. And if they really were smart, they would understand that the passion that I speak with is the passion that I fuck with. So I don't understand why they can't do that math.
Yeah, sports. I was reading that. I read that you know about what a nickel defense is in football.
I don't even remember anymore. Don't put me on the spot. But I really
you love sports, huh? Or you love football? No. Or you love the
No. I appreciate sports. Okay. The sports that it wouldn't be fair to say I love football because it's not even close to my love for gymnastics.
Okay.
You know, I respect football. I respect basketball. I mean, I got a J, you know. I used to have handles in my younger days. Now I have back problems.
Well, that what you were saying about earlier, that's the kind of same thing that you was able to do with back problems. You ain't gonna be able to do that no more, man. So I think you have to sit there one out.
I think it's all about creativity.
Sorry I brought that up.
You talking to a comic. Like, whatever you say, I got something in the chamber. You know? That's the other part. I'm a really good motherfucking comic. Did you know that?
I did know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Okay, well.
I have my special, you know, I have my special I be knowing, but this year is when I really realized, like, nigga, you nice with this. I've been going on stage and I don't even prepare no more. I just go to see.
Right.
Baby. I'm killing.
You like that, huh?
I'm really.
Well, how about this here?
Now, not to say I haven't had my L's.
Yeah.
There was a particular room in Los Angeles that I did take an L. Mm. But I have a different style of comedy than that room was expecting.
Right. Dating in 2024.
I am single.
You ain't trying. You ain't.
Who's hollering at me, Shannon? Who is hollering at me? Who?
Let me ask you this. How about this here?
At this point,
what type of man are you? What type of man would interest Amanda? Does he have to be scholarly, funny? I mean, women like funny, so that needs to be one. Women like funny.
He has to have character.
Character.
And when I say character, I mean he has to have a very strong value system.
Okay.
He has to care about humanity.
Okay.
He has to like animals.
Okay.
He has to like music.
Okay.
He has to be curious.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to be scholarly, but he has to be curious.
Okay.
And the thing about curiosity is it's not just about like education, but you have to be able to be curious about somebody else's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like that's the thing I feel like I run into with a lot of men. Like they not curious about like if I say I'm sad or if I'm saying I'm annoyed, like they go into defense. But really the next question should be,
why?
Why? Why? And then there's a conversation. And I learned in my last relationship, I really, really worked on my toxic traits, you know, because we're all working to undo the things that shaped us that we had no control over.
Toxic, huh?
I was. Yeah, we all are. Anymore, you definitely have toxic traits.
Whoa, whoa, man, this is not about me. Not about me, okay? Thank you.
This man said, I need to f*** every morning. I'm
who
like,
made a whoa.
You didn't say that to Ocho Cinco? You didn't say that to Ocho Cinco? I said, I don't know if I'm
going to go on this show. Is that toxicity? To get a mean one in?
Because the way you framed it, I'm going to just say, Shay, the way you had said it was like, whether she likes it or not, this is my expectation. And sometimes the pussy ain't prime until prime time. And it's just like, damn, is that what the expectation is? Every morning?
I mean, sometimes my pockets ain't prime, but she expect that Birkin.
I don't know nothing about
she
that life. I can't speak to that.
Yeah, see,
that sounds like an escort
service. Yeah, I'm just saying.
That sounds like prostitution.
So I'm just saying, you know, sometimes I ain't prime.
That sounds like a different situation.
So how about this? So you mean to tell me, ain't no man, I know they're sliding in your DM.
They're not.
Ain't no man in your DM.
No.
Haven't been.
There was one person in my DMs, but they're not really like into me. They're just like talking about professional stuff. But,
whatever. Ain't nobody sliding no DM.
I don't know if he has a girl. I'll ask you off camera.
They slide in your DM.
I'll ask you off camera.
Lord.
No, they don't slide in my DMs because they're like, she's too intense.
Right.
And that's the thing. I feel like a lot of men holler at me because they want to tame me. Like they like it's like a game for them.
Yeah.
And I had a dude I was talking to who was like, yeah, you know, I like you because you're a challenge. I don't want to do none of that. I don't want discourse. I want intercourse. Like, please. Like, I want to be home on the couch.
Hugged up, booed up.
That's really what I don't want to fight. People be like, Amanda Seals in her tone. I'm talking to a phone, baby. I'm talking to a phone. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to a phone. And if I say these idiots and you take offense to that, well, that's your fault.
Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, if I'm out of place. Okay. You don't want kids, but you had your eggs frozen, correct?
Yeah, because everyone's
you might, maybe. Maybe no, down no, the road. You meet the right you meet the right guy. Meet the right guy.
No, I don't. I don't want kids.
Right. Hold on. You got to be willing to compromise.
Not with my uterus.
Okay, you can have a what they call a surrogate.
I don't want to have kids, babe.
Man, say, babe, you know, babe, who gonna take? He gonna say, babe, who gonna take care of us when we get old?
Well, that's a really scary. Have you seen people in these nursing homes? My mama worked in a nursing home.
That's what I'm saying. That's what the kids are for.
They not. The kids is visiting them in the nursing home.
Nah, I'm staying. My kids better put me up in the crib.
Exactly.
I bought them
but
cribs.
But so
I
often
stay
that's
there.
Not the case.
And I want a big bedroom.
You know what?
Too.
You're better off having. You're better off. You know, listen. If you're having kids so they can take care of you, I think that's unfair.
No, I don't think you. I don't think you.
Know,
you I don't
you
think.
You know, but
yeah.
That's the thought process for a lot of people, no. Right? Like, and I think it's unfair because it gives them a job. I have beautiful friends. And I don't consider age to be the only reason for be like I have friends that are right. in their 30s,
right.
right? That are in their 20s. Like it's really about where your heart is at.
Right.
And I will be fine. I will be fine. I will be taken care of and I will be supported because I support people and you get what you give. Unless it's black media.
You would all. You
but I froze the eggs because people force you. People really be on your head like just in case, JIC, just in case.
Just in case, yeah.
JIC, but let me tell you, that egg freezing process is a mother. Mm-hmm. You getting that shit rammed up in you every day, and they looking around.
Was
there was 16 yesterday, now there's only 10, and you're like, God damn, eggs, God damn. Listen to my small doses episode, Side Effects of IVF.
Yeah, I mean, hens are going to only say lay so many eggs. I mean, how many things you think you're going to get?
Don't ever call me a hen again.
You think you get 30 eggs per day for 2 months?
Sir, I don't know. To be honest, I know the things I know and I know the things I don't know. And I really don't.
You didn't know at the time that it was.
I just
did. Did somebody tell you it was going to be painful? I mean, what?
It's not painful. It's just
different.
Yeah. Like, it's just so invasive.
Yeah.
It's so invasive.
Okay.
It's so invasive. Like today, my podcast episode about the sexual assault I experienced comes out today.
Okay.
On Small Doses. And it's like, it's a similar type of like, it's invasive.
Right.
You feel invaded.
Right.
And you're like, this is very medical, but it still feels yucky.
Right. Is there anything you'd like to promote? Your podcast, your book, you got a movie, you're writing a movie?
I'm on tour. I'm on tour. The Unlikable Tour. Yes, come out, see me. I'll be telling jokes. I feel like my shows at this point are like TED Talks that you laugh at. Mm-hmm. But I'm hitting the road. I'm very excited to be back on stage. I was blacklisted all last year. We'll do that in part two. And, you know, it's just, it's great to get out in the world after you be on this internet and they beating you up go in the world and folks is like, Amanda, we appreciate you. We love you. And just making people laugh is such a superpower. So come on out to the Unlikable Tour. Go to AmandaSeals.com to get your tickets. You can also listen to my radio show, The Amanda Seals Show, every day. You can go to wherever you get your podcasts and check that out if you're not in a city that we're on. And Small Doses is my podcast that we've been doing for 6 years. Will you do an episode of Small Doses?
Yeah, you have to get my people. Yeah, I'm sure I could do that for you.
Your people?
Yeah.
Do you have to get approval?
No, I don't have to get approval, but I have a busy schedule. I'm shooting like 8-10 times a week, so.
He said, I'm a busy man. I will commit by heart, but not by date.
Yeah.
I'll take that as a yes. Mm-hmm. We got time, because I'm not going to die till I'm 80. but I'm in the process of writing my next book on Simon & Schuster. Mm-hmm. So very excited about that. But my previous book, Small Doses, is also available wherever you get your books and audiobooks. And otherwise, you know, I appreciate this platform. The space you've created here is very unique and necessary.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, you had asked me earlier, like, what has come out of these last 4 weeks? And let me tell you something, Shannon, I am a pure soul. I've always been a pure soul. I always move from pure intentions. And I've reached a point where I'm just no longer going to argue what people think
right.
with what I know.
Amanda Seals, ladies and gentlemen.
All my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle paid the price. Wanna slice. Got the roll of dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life. Look, all my life, been grinding all my life. Sacrifice, hustle, paid the price. Wanna slice. Got the roll of dice, that's why. All my life, I've been grinding all my life.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.